All right, guys, welcome to the show. Today I've got Ryan McLean on the show with me. I actually found Ryan through another niche site blog called Niche Pursuits. Ryan had a success story that was posted up by Spencer Hawes, who runs the blog nichepursuits.com. And Ryan has been having some success with building out these sites. He's actually been doing internet marketing for quite some time now. I believe you said 7 years, right? Yeah, so Ryan built out a niche site and was able to get featured on Niche Pursuits, and I reached out to him and figured we'd kind of talk about his success and see what's working for him and kind of share his story and how he got started and building out niche sites and internet marketing. So I guess if you kind of want to share where you got started, that way back when.
Well, thanks for having me, John. I got started, it would have been probably 7 years ago now, back in probably early 2006, so 6, 7 years ago. And the reason I got started is I was on the internet back in my parents' house when I lived with my parents, and I remember reading a PDF document, a free ebook about someone who was talking about how they made money online for free within 30 days. So they started with absolutely no money, and they built up, a free site on blogspot.com and sold a bunch of t-shirts and stuff like that, ended up making, I think it was about $75 in 30 days. So not a great deal of money, but that kind of inspired me to show me that, hey, there's another world out there and a way that you can make money online. And so that's how I started dabbling in the whole make money online thing. It's always been, well, not always, but for the majority of the time, been a part-time gig. So I started off with a bunch of crappy blogs on blogspot.com where it was mostly scraped content and they didn't go anywhere. And then I started blogging for myself and again started a lot of, I guess, crappy sites that I ended up closing down. And then I ended up starting very much like Spencer from Niche Pursuits, personal finance blog. And so I ran that for about a year when I was working online full time doing freelance writing. And so I ran that, had minor successes, maybe made the most was $150 in a month. And then my story kind of, for internet marketing, at least slowed down at that stage because my wife got pregnant, we had a baby and wasn't earning enough money. So it was time to go back to work. And so ended up, scaling up my work and going back to work full time. And I had a break for probably a couple of years there where I was kind of doing stuff every now and then, but not a lot, because when you work full time and you have a new baby, you don't have a whole great deal of time
Yeah.
to work on this sort of stuff. So what happened? It actually comes back to the 4-hour work week for me, and I was reading that through for the second time, which is a great book. Pretty much everyone's read it. And I remember highlighting the fact that, what was it? It was micro testing or something like that. I can't remember what he called it. But basically, if you have a business idea, do a few AdWords campaigns and just see if it's a viable business idea before you actually launch it.
Right.
So, something I've always been interested in ever since I was a teenager, 15, 16, was investing in property and positive cash flow property. And throughout that time, I became very good at finding these properties, positive cash flow properties in Australia, which aren't easy to find. So I decided that my business idea would be I would find these properties for people and charge them a monthly subscription fee for a list of these properties each month. And so I launched that with a micro test, doing AdWords, and then it looked pretty viable, but I kind of didn't want to spend too much money because I didn't have a lot at the time. So I looked for free ways to get traffic to that site. So I did some forum marketing and then I started doing blog posts. It looked like a viable idea, but it would have been something that I would have had to commit to full time. And I wasn't willing to take the risk to take it full time and see if I could make it because I didn't have the financial backing to give me the time to do that. So I decided to, I guess, keep blogging for a while. I closed down the sales page and stuff like that, but keep blogging and building up traffic so that eventually, if I ever did want to launch it, that I could go ahead and do that. And so that site has been going for, what was it, 3, 4 years now. and that's probably my biggest site with lots and lots of articles on there. And then slowly over time, I just kept adding to it, and it kept growing slowly and slowly, and really come into my stride this year with that website, and then with a couple of other websites that I've built out. So it's kind of, it's been a very long journey for me, and I could go into it in more detail, but I don't want to take too much time. But yeah, it's really been a hard slog for 6 years, and in 2013, things have really started to come good for me, and you know, I started kicking some goals and hitting some wins. So it's been failure after failure after failure after failure, and then another failure, and then a success that wasn't really a success, and a failure, and then, you know, starting to have some good success now. So it's really just been, I've always wanted to do this, and so it's just been keep slogging away. So that's my story until now in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I've kind of, you know, everybody, you know, starts somewhere, and obviously, you know, even me, I'll admit, you know, I've had my struggles, but it's like I'm kind of figuring out my edge, and then I'm able to move forward. And it sounds like you're kind of doing the same.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, you try so many things, and then if you find something that you're good at and that's working for you, then build that out as much as you can. I think that's really what I'm doing now, is I've found something that's working. I've found something that I'm good at as well, and that I can do well. And I'm focusing on that. The biggest thing for me, especially over the last 3 or 4 years as I've been building up one niche site, and now I'm going into about 13 at the moment, it's really been focusing on what I can do with the time that I have. And so I know that there's a lot of internet marketing strategies out there, like, you know, people are making a lot of money on Facebook or through LinkedIn or in Google Plus or whatever they're doing, even AdSense and or AdWords, sorry. And for me, I just decided that, look, I want to be able to do those things, but I don't have the time to commit, not just to learn them, but to actively run them, because something like Facebook is something that you have to be actively involved in almost every day in order for that to be viable. So I wanted something that I could work when I have the free time, and then when I don't, I can just leave it and it still works for me. So that's why I ended up with niche sites and traffic from search engines.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, and that makes sense too. I know, you know, one of the other fellows I interviewed, he's kind of like in a similar boat. You know, he wakes up at 7 a.m. and that's the time he has, you know, a couple hours a day, if that, you know, and he's kind of doing the same thing with niche sites because that's what he's able to do. You know, I find it, for me, I've always kind of have gone and like tried to learn a little bit about everything, because I've sort of been like, well, what do I really want to do, and what do I want to spend all my time on? But it's sort of been a big rotation for like the last year of like, what do I really want to do? And that's where I came up with the interview thing. And, you know, I've sort of gotten into the whole niche site thing as well. I've got one that I'm building out as well. And I know that, you know, I figured if you wanted, you could maybe talk a little bit about like where you started with like keyword research, and then kind of what made you decide what your niche, and if you want to dig into more like some of your strategies about building the content out and getting some traffic.
For the new niche sites that I'm building now?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, or you could, even if you wanted to talk more about the Cashflow Investor site.
Yeah. Well, Cashflow Investor is probably not a strategy that I would use now moving forward. It has worked for me, but it's taken 3 to 4 years to get to the point that it's at. So even though it's a good site, I've got, I think, 127 posts on there now that have basically all written by myself. And for that site, I'm finding I want to grow it out. I want to build the content, but I'm finding it's very hard to find writers, because it's a website about investing in Australian property and positive cash flow property. So there's a lot of things that someone who's writing that content needs to be aware of. You know, you need to know about the Australian market. You need to know about property. You need to know about all the tax and legal implications. You know, you don't want to be giving away financial advice, so you have to be really careful there. So there's all these sort of things which are really kind of big no-nos for niche sites and for outsourcing. It's worked for me, but whether I can scale that and build it to the size that eventually I want it to be, I think it's going to be a lot of work. So for the niche sites that I'm building moving forward, there are a lot smaller sites, and they're a lot more easily outsourced. So one of my sites, which I won't reveal the domain name of, which I started in August last year, that site, I did some keyword research, and this was before I had any tools. So I just did keyword research with, if people want to go the free option, this is the best way to do it. But, you know, pay to, when you can get something like Longtail Pro, it just makes your life so much easier. It's worth the $100 or whatever it is you have to pay for it. But going the free option, you know, using the Google AdWords tool, I went through what Pat Flynn recommends, which is, you know, your 777. Can't remember, seven needs, I don't know, seven fears, seven desires or something like that. And so I just went through and wrote a bunch of things and then, you know, started doing keyword research based off some of those, you know, need wants and desires or fears that I wrote down, just things that had to do with my life. And I came across a keyword where I could get the .com domain name for, and it had about 1,000 searches per month. But there was also a lot of other keywords that were very similar to that, that had lots of searches as well. And so I created that website and I wrote five articles, five. So not a great deal, but, you know, my main article was 2,000-3,000 words. There was another article that was like 2,000 words. So it was very long content, very quality content. And I created that in August and then just let it sit basically. And I didn't do anything for it. I created one YouTube video for the homepage, which was me, and I had my iPhone, and I was literally just, because I didn't have anything to screen capture, so I'm like holding it up like this to the screen and filming the screen as I scroll through the blog post. So it's a shoddy video, but I did that anyway just to get a link back so Google would know I existed, and then I just left it. And so it really did absolutely nothing for about a year, and then maybe 3 months ago, it started to pick up in Google, and then it's kind of just grown month on month, and now I'm getting about, you know, 200, 300 visitors a day, and that site, you know, makes about $80 a month or something like that. Not huge, but, you know, for something that where I wrote five articles. Yeah. And so my strategy, like, for that, I did the keyword research, but I looked at the top 10 and I said, how can I make something better than this? I didn't really go into the detail and look at the backlinking and all that sort of stuff because I didn't really know how to do that.
Right.
But now what I do, do you want me to go into that, what I do now?
Yeah, I mean, because you mentioned you're doing a lot more with the whole like long tail keyword focus and really trying to target some of the lower search phrases, but just lots of them, right?
Yeah. So what a lot of people do, like Pat Flynn over at his niche site, Jewel or Spencer, they'll go through the keyword tool and they'll look for something that has, you know, a minimum of 2,000 or 3,000 searches per month, and then they'll look at competition and stuff like that. What I do now is I use Spencer's tool, Longtail Pro, and the platform version, and I would put in my keywords and I'll look for basically a bunch of keywords. I want to look for something that's on the same topic but something that's kind of a bit broader rather than just going after one particular keyword, and if I rank for that, I'm successful. I want to look for an entire niche which has a lot of different keywords that people are searching that's low competition. Does that make sense?
Right. So you're basically just looking at, so what, probably like 200 to 400 or 500 searches a month kind of keywords?
Well, to me it doesn't really matter. Like, I'll go after something that has 50 searches or something that has, you know, 10 searches, because even though I'll write an article that's about, you know, a certain one keyword, well, I'm not just going to rank for that, because if I write a 1,000-word article, I'm going to start ranking for a bunch of other things as well. But what I like to do is basically go through and I'll look at maybe try and get 10, 20 or 30 keywords that I'm interested in, and I want those 10 or 20 or 30 to add up to somewhere around 5,000 searches. And for me, that's kind of my figure to say, okay, this is a decent market and something that I'm willing to enter into. So some of those keywords, it might have one that's, you know, 1,600 or 2,000, and it might have some that are 100 each, you know. But in some cases, some of the best articles that rank on my site and get the most traffic are ones where I went after a keyword that was, you know, 50 or 100 or something like that. Hmm. And even though I didn't rank for that, I ranked for 1,000 other different searches that people do every single day. And so that's kind of, I write good, long, quality content or get it written, and then rank for a whole bunch of stuff. And for that, if your content is good, what I found is that, and yeah, you'll start ranking for a lot of different things. So I don't actually track where I rank for my keywords. unless I'm just curious one day, and I don't really actively go after certain keywords with the whole link building strategies and stuff like that.
Now, when you write the articles, are you kind of like sprinkling some of those specific keywords into the long articles, or do you just write on a topic and then just kind of like really go do whatever? Do you like really focus on any of the particular keywords when writing the article, like kind of sprinkling them throughout, I guess?
Yeah, no, I will do that actually. So I'll have a keyword that I'm writing the article about. Okay, so I will focus on that and I'll do SEO best practice. Like I'll put it in the title of the blog post. I'll put it in the URL. I'll put it in like a H2 tag within the blog post some, and then I'll put it in there a couple of times as well. I don't look at keyword density, you know, whether it be 3% or 4% or 1% or 2%. I'm not fussed about that as long as it's in there, you know, once or twice and, you know, it's about that topic and it's obvious to Google, then that's what I'll focus on. So I do put it through the article. I'll put it in the first paragraph as well. If I can, I'll put it in like the end paragraph as well. But I'm not too focused on making sure it's in there a lot of times. For some articles, it works out and you have to put it in heaps. But for other articles, it's silly if you put it in a whole bunch of times, especially with keywords that are how-to. You know, if it's how to do something, if you're trying to go through an article and you're writing how to do this throughout the article, it just doesn't make sense.
Right.
So you put it in the title, you know, you might say put it once in your content and then that's it. And then you just make it so it's relevant to that, but it's not keyword packed, if that makes sense.
Right. You're not like keyword stuffing or anything like that. You're just making a unique article that actually has a lot of, you know, it makes sense really is what you're doing.
Yeah, so my biggest thing when I create articles or when I get articles written is that it has to answer the query. You know, so whatever someone's searching for, I like to think through and say, okay, why are they searching for this? And if I was searching for this, what would I want to see? So rather than saying I need to write an article that has this keyword in it, I want to say no. Like if I'm going to be number one in Google, I need to be the best article. And what's the best article going to be? So they're searching for, you know, laptops or, you know, whatever, what are they going to want to see in the top page and what am I going to have to do to be that best article and beat everyone else? Does that make sense?
I mean, obviously anybody that's looking for that, that's what they're going to want to find. That's the whole point, you know?
Yeah. At least, I do question, like Google say that they don't necessarily use, user data when they're on your website to based on rankings, you know, things like time on site, things like bounce rate and all that sort of stuff. You know, they say they don't use it, but I wonder whether or not they do. You know, if anything, they check if someone comes back to Google and does that search again, then maybe you weren't the most relevant thing. So I think being relevant is very important. And I think, you know, I'm obviously speculating here, but I think once, I guess, you prove yourself to Google and people come to your site and they enjoy it, then Google are going to want to, I guess, promote you because they're not bouncing back and they're having a good experience through Google. Which eventually, if you're going after Google content, you need to make the Google masters happy. So.
Right, yeah. No, I mean, it makes perfect sense. At least what you're doing is legitimate. You know, you're not just throwing some site up there with bogus stuff. You know, I've seen people rank content using strategies and, like, some of the stuff is, like, not really relevant. Like, it might have somewhat of what they're looking for, but not really what they're looking for, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's like going back to time again, because I might only have an hour or two per week to work on my websites. You know, maybe I'll work like one night, but then I'll have to get up at 6 a.m. for my kids and I'll be shattered and have to go to work. And I'm like, oh man, can't do that again. And then the next week I'll roll around and I'll do it once again. So I don't get a whole great deal of time. So for me, even when it came to link building strategies and how do I do that, for me it was just, I guess, too time consuming to do. I'd rather just focus on writing good content and trust that it'll win out in the long run. And even looking at my Cashflow Investor website, you know, I've just had a huge spike in traffic this month. Like it has tripled or quadrupled what it was doing last month. I haven't added any new content this month. You know, I'm not even sure if Google did any algorithm updates. I looked through all my data, I couldn't find anything. You know, it wasn't a one keyword that I ranked for or anything like that. But I think, you know, maybe And again, speculation that maybe a lot of the sites that were ranking that weren't as relevant as what I, the content that I put up, you know, maybe they got devalued and I got pushed up by default. Who knows? But, you know, creating valuable content's working for me. So that's what I'm sticking with and moving forward with.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I mean, I kind of like that you just sort of, you know, even though it's taken some time, I mean, I know you mentioned you wrote 5 articles for one site and that took some time for it to build. What would you say, like, these days when targeting some of the lower search keyword phrases, like, how long would you say it takes? You know, if you write 5 to 10 of these articles and you're kind of sprinkling out those keywords throughout, what would you say on average, like, what was your traffic like to over time? Like, how much time did it take when things really started to pick up?
Well, it's really hard to say because some of the sites I'm having success with now are only 2-3 months old. Right. So it's hard to say, exactly how long it takes. But, you know, I start to see search engine traffic within the first month. So even though that might only be, you know, 20 or 30, you know, people from Google, I'll start to see it in the first month. And then, you know, it's really hard to say because every site varies and I don't have that many at the moment that I see this huge trend. And so I guess I couldn't really report on, you know, how long it's taking. But I think with the site that I started in August that took almost a year to start getting traffic, you know, I didn't actively do anything with that to promote it. I didn't do, you know, any link building or anything. So I think doing a little bit of link building has helped me rank faster or at least get noticed faster. And yeah, then again, I think it comes back to user experience and, you know, I think you get rewarded or, you know, punished based on how the user experience is. But I'm not obviously 100% sure on that. But, yeah, so I can't really answer it, sorry. But, yeah, some sites a month, 2 months, you know, other sites 12 months, some sites, you know, I'll just end up closing after their domain expires because they're not doing anything. So, yeah.
Right. So it's kind of you've built out some sites over time that just never ended up getting anywhere in the traffic. There was no profit or anything like that.
Yeah. And I think one of the things, like I have an article that I wrote, and if you search like best movie speeches, it's an article that I wrote probably 4 years ago or something like that on, you know, the 15 best movie speeches of all time. And so that article ranks pretty well in Google for that. It's in the top five and a whole bunch of other searches as well. But for that article, you know, I had it on, I think it was on my personal website, so I didn't have any advertising on it. And then I decided to start a movie review site because I love movies. So I thought that would be a good way to do it. And I had it on there and I had advertising on there and it just really, you know, made no money at all. And then, you know, I've moved that article, you know, 4 or 5 times and I'm now landed on a niche site that's, you know, relevant to speeches and stuff like that, but takes more like a different angle rather than movies. It's more about, you know, speaking and becoming a better speaker. And right. So once I moved that article to that website, well, then I started making money from it. You know, not a lot, maybe 10 or 15 bucks or something like that. But, you know, I found that on certain sites, certain articles make nothing. But then on another site, you know, it'll make a bit. So it's kind of looking at, I guess, where the opportunity is. In people might not necessarily pay for people searching about movies, but yep, people searching about how to become a better public speaker, you know, will pay more money. So it's kind of, I guess, aligning your content. I don't know why I went on that tangent.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I mean, that's kind of interesting that you realize. So you have this article, it was doing really well with traffic, but you weren't really monetizing that site. So then you tried to niche into that particular, like the whole thing with the movie reviews based off of it. That didn't work, but then you moved it again. So basically, have you had this like article like on 3 different domains?
I've had it on 4 different domains over time, 4 or 5, I think, over time, and it continues and can get hundreds of visitors per day.
Wow.
And and so for anyone who wants to know, all I did was basically I'd copy the article to on a new site, and then I did a 301 permanent redirect from the old article to that new article. So whenever anyone went through Google They would still get to that article, but rather than going to the old site, it would redirect it to the new site. And then it doesn't take long before Google realizes that, hey, the old article doesn't exist here anymore. The new one is here. And so I would delete the old article from the other site, put in that redirect, so I'm not having duplicate content or anything like that. I've just moved the article over. So I think that's what's helped me, you know, keep it ranking, you know, because it's just the same article has moved. And so Google knows the article's good, so they'll keep ranking it.
I recently had to do the same thing with my old domain. I actually did a 301 redirect to, I had, my old domain is john-shea.net. And I really didn't like that, especially with the hyphen for an interview show. And it really didn't fly well for doing a show. So I came up with Voices of Marketing, and there's no hyphen. And I think the name makes sense for what I'm doing. So I just did a 301 redirect. And if I go over to Majestic SEO, I can look and see that all of the they give you like, I don't know if you've used that site when you looked at your niche sites for backlinks or anything, but
no, I haven't used it before.
Yeah, that's a good one. Like you can look at, they give you these trust and different factors about kind of like the flow of links and everything coming to your site, and how it, they give you like these rankings, and I can see that it's boosted my new site already because it's carrying over all the link juice from all my old backlinks pointing to johnshea.net. So the 301 redirect, and I know Google picks up on that, and I'm seeing search traffic still come in to my, you know, my new site for articles I wrote like months ago, you know, still getting searches for stuff I wrote on the old site because I still have all the content. Obviously I copy it. It's an exact duplicate, but, you know, everything seems to be just flowing just the way it was. In fact, my traffic's increased for whatever reason. I don't know why, but
yeah, well, that's the thing. Sometimes you just don't know why it happens.
Yeah. I don't, maybe somehow I'm hitting some new search term, like people are typing in voices and marketing in search terms. I don't know. But yeah, so that's I know that definitely works, the 301 redirects.
Yeah, but I think, you know, Google's smart, and it's smarter than what some people give it credit for, and it's getting smarter every day. You know, it's a living, breathing thing. And I think, you know, even going back to looking at the Panda update when that came out, and, you know, one of the big things about Panda, and anyone can correct me if I'm wrong, but this is from memory, was that they would look at websites, and based on the way the website was organized, you know, if it looked like a spammy site, then they would, you know, de-rank that. So things like having, you know, two ad blocks up the top, which pushes all your content down, so people have to scroll down to get to your content. You know, traditionally a spammy site, you know, would do that, and so Google would think it's a spammy site. So just like we as humans will go, oh, this site looks like this other spammy site that I went to, I'll just exit out of it. Yeah. Google's starting to do that as well. And so I think, you know, giving Google the benefit of the doubt, that, you know, treating them like a human, I think has worked for me. And, you know, rather than saying, oh, you know, these Google updates are screwing people over, and, you know, yes, certain people get screwed over, and sometimes you can't help that, but looking at the Panda update rather than saying, you know, well, how can I game this? You know, look at it and say, well, Google's becoming more like a human, and as humans, we assess things based on past experience. So if Google's saying that, you know, these certain types of sites, they think they're good, well, then make your site, you know, more like that. So if Google's saying, you know, sites that have and articles that have videos on them that are relevant to that article, or it's the article in video form, you know, if that ranks well, then, and Google likes that, then why not make one of those? Do you know what I mean?
Right, makes sense.
Yeah.
So did you, I know we haven't really touched upon it, but I thought it'd be a good topic to dive into a little bit, was monetization and kind of what you're doing to monetize your sites.
Yeah, so I use three different main monetization methods. So I use Google AdSense, you know, on a lot of my sites, and a lot of the smaller sites are mainly Google AdSense. Because it's just so easy to do. You know, I've got a template for niche sites that I created. And so when I need a new niche site, I have like, it's a three-step process basically. And there's this plugin, I think it's called the Duplicator. It's a WordPress plugin, but it will basically duplicate, you know, one site and duplicate it onto somewhere else. So I created a template and I then copied it. And whenever I need a new niche site, I just duplicate that. And so it sets up the site with my theme activated, with my AdSense put in there and everything like that. So for the smaller sites, it's so easy. And so I use that. I do affiliate marketing as well. So even if I have AdSense on there, I might throw in some Amazon links or links to different affiliate programs within the content, not really on the sidebars and stuff like that, but just within the content. So yeah. I do affiliate marketing, and then I have my own product as well on the Cashflow investor site. And I want to make more of my own products and put them on some of the more successful sites, because I have had success with that, you know, on top of affiliate marketing and on top of AdSense as well. So I'm kind of mixing the three, so I'm not completely reliant on one, and I'm kind of maximizing my income from the sites. So it's not a perfect formula yet, but I'm constantly trying to improve upon it.
Right. Yeah. So you've kind of gotten into a little bit of everything. I mean, obviously, if it's working for you, then I would just continue with it, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm doing. You know, AdSense is good because it's easy, but I know it's not the best monetization strategy. And so kind of what I'm doing is, I guess, playing with other monetization strategies while I'm still using AdSense as a backup, you know? So, you know, using it, making a bit of money, trialing other things, seeing if they work, and then eventually if they're better, then maybe I'll phase out AdSense on some sites and focus on affiliate marketing, or focus on just promoting my own product better. So I'm not 100% sure where I'm going to take it, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's still pretty cool, you know, that you've kind of at least had experience with a little bit of everything there for the monetization. I know, like, some people will specifically build out AdSense sites or Amazon sites, and then, like, that's the main focus, and they won't really do one or the other, but... you know, I've tried Amazon myself, and I've seen, you know, started to see some results, but it's still slow, you know.
Yeah, I'd like to. I don't have any purely Amazon sites where it's just product marketing. A lot of my niche sites are more topical rather than necessarily certain products or reviewing products. It's more, I guess, around a product, around a topic and educating people. But I'd like to get into, you know, an Amazon product site, because, you know, you see people making good money with it, and it sounds like it could be a bit of fun as well.
Right.
You know, something a bit different. So it's something I want to do, and something I'm planning to do with a couple of my sites this year. But yeah, I haven't done that yet.
Cool. So now I figured this might be good to ask about a little bit. I know you've got a podcast that you've done for the Cashflow Investor site. Have you seen kind of any results from that? Like, are you just kind of talking by yourself about different topics, or are you having, like, guests on in the podcast? Like, what are you doing with that?
Yeah. So for Cashflow Investor, the reason I started a podcast was because, you know, I found it a cheap way to get content that was good.
Yeah.
Because I could record, you know, 5 minutes of a topic. So, you know, I know the 5 points that I want to cover. And so I would then talk about, you know, those 5 points, and I would then get that transcribed and turn it into a blog post. So for a site that's that specialized, you know, articles written are very expensive, but to record a podcast myself and then get it transcribed, you're looking at like $1 a minute. So a five minute podcast turns into probably a 1,000-word article at the speed that I speak, and you get that for $5. So it's pretty good. So that's why I started doing podcasts.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know, it can't hurt having the podcast available on the site and on iTunes and stuff like that. And I couldn't tell you how many podcasts I have up there, you know, maybe 20 or something like that. But, you know, in June I had over 1,000 downloads. In July I had over 1,000 downloads. And I didn't add absolutely anything in July at all. So
wow.
It's kind of, you know, and that's a good portion compared to the traffic that I get. For the amount of podcasts that I've done, you know, I'm pretty happy with the results. Whether that leads to any financial benefit, I don't know. So that's yet to be seen. But all my podcasts are just me talking. So I haven't done interviews. It's not the way that I've wanted to go. And again, it comes down to, you know, a time constraint. Like for us to line up, you know, this interview.
Yeah, no, I was going to
mention. Pretty hard being over.
For anyone listening.
Pretty hard.
It's actually it's 7 a.m. my time. This is like the earliest I've woken up in, like, I don't know. I usually don't wake up till at least 7:30. So this is like the earliest I've woken up in probably over a year.
Yeah. And you emailed me and you said, I'm going to get up really early at 7 a.m. I'm like, dude, For me, 7 a.m. is a sleep in. Like my kids are up at 6 a.m. every morning, 6:30, 7 a.m. It's like if my kids come in and my wife's like, "What time is it?" I'm like, "7." We're like, "Yes," and we do this like little celebratory dance. But for me, it's almost what 10 o'clock at night now.
Oh
So,
my God. Yeah, that's why I was like, all right, if I do this time, it's gonna be like tomorrow for him. And I didn't want to like say the wrong day and then like we meet up and it's like not right. And I'm like, oh my God, like maybe if I just do this in the morning, it'll be the same day, it'll be easier.
yeah. So for me, it's been more a time thing and just not necessarily being able to schedule in those times and actively focus on doing that. You approached me and I was happy to do this, but if I had to go out and try and organize that with people, it's not something truthfully that I can be bothered to do. I'd rather spend my time focusing on other things and building other things. And what I've started doing lately, I've started kind of documenting my journey since I put that article on Niche Pursuits. I've had so many people contacting me, so I thought I might start documenting it. So what I'm doing is on my drive to work each day, I'm just having a chat by myself in the car and
That's
recording a
cool.
podcast there. So I started doing that. So if anyone wants to see that, I've just started a website, nichesitefreedom.com. So anyone who wants to listen to that, and it's just me yabbering on, they can go and check that out. But
Yeah,
yeah, I
send me
haven't
a link.
done any interviews.
I'll leave a link in the show notes and people can check that out.
Okay, yeah, good. But that's where I'm going to be documenting all my stuff moving forward. And I'll send it through to you and we can put it in the show notes. Yeah. But yeah, the podcast has been good, but whether it's been financially beneficial, I'm still not 100% sure.
Yeah, I mean 1,000 is good. I launched mine with really no like kind of no idea what I was really getting into, and I'm gonna actually I have to relaunch my whole podcast with the new brand name because I changed my whole show name, but I'm gonna
Yep.
relaunch it and hopefully things will start picking up. But I know podcasting, with the right if you kind of optimize your show and put in the right keywords, like iTunes is like a big search engine, just like Google, and people will find you, based on
Yeah.
specific things that you have written in your show description. I'm hoping with the name marketing in my show name, that will probably help.
But
But
yeah, I think the biggest thing. Yeah, the biggest thing is putting those keywords in because iTunes is the biggest by far, and then there's Stitcher Radio as well, I think it's called.
yep.
But yeah, it's a search engine, and it's not as advanced as Google, and people don't really know how it works, and sometimes it's hard, to find a podcast. If I want to find a podcast, if the person hasn't put in exactly, what I've searched, then it might not show up. Maybe there's an email marketing podcast. From John McIntyre of dropdeadcopy.com, and he had just started it, and I'd heard about it through another podcast, and I went into iTunes and I searched dropdeadcopy.com, and he hadn't actually put that in the description, so it didn't show up. So I then had to go to his website and find links and through it
So you're
that
like
way.
putting in effort just to find his show, it's kind of.
Yeah, so if anyone's doing podcasts, then keywords are really important, and Pat Flynn has awesome videos on how to do that and make sure your keywords are in there. So I don't know if you've seen that, but he has it on YouTube. So
Yeah, that's I think
that's where I
that
recommend anyone go to.
that's actually how I started. I think his site is Podcasting Tutorial and it redirects to his it's like an elaborate blog post where he goes over 6 videos on how to get started and it's completely free. And that's what I
Yeah.
used. I think there's a few other articles too I've seen on some other sites, but his was pretty good. Like there really wasn't anything I needed to do specifically to that was outside of what he recommends, and I was able to get
Yeah.
up and running. He even goes down into the equipment. So for anyone listening, if you're even looking for, just to start a podcast, I know a lot of people, it seems pretty common. I met another guy recently. He started a second podcast and he listens to other podcasts. And then his new podcast is called Insights from a Podcast. And he'll just talk about other podcasts. And he got like he I think he made a video for one guy in a popular podcast, and he got the guy to like reach out to him like a guest from one of another guy's show or something. So now he's
Yeah,
like
see, that's you can make content about anything. Like I heard of a guy who makes money from reviewing TV dinners, on
really.
video. So cook a TV dinner and review it on video. But when it comes to equipment, like all I use is, oh, sorry, like my iPhone. Like I'll record, I literally like hold my iPhone up and record that. Or now I'm using the iPhone headphones that come with it. And for me, that's been fine. Eventually, I'll invest in better equipment. But being on, you know, the road and recording while I'm driving, while I'm commuting, it's like, well, you know, it's easy and
Make it an
it's
easier.
decent enough.
Yeah, makes
So.
sense. I have like I bought this like stand. I don't, let me see. It's like this mic.
Yeah.
Can't really, the wires are, but I got this. It was only $30 and it
Yeah,
works
see,
really
that's pretty
well.
cheap.
Yeah, and it actually like it was in that list of recommended podcasts from Pat Flynn, and you know, it was pretty good. Like he said, it was one of the better ones. And I read all the reviews. I did all my research. I'm one of those, like, before I buy anything, I really read about it and see what people are what kind of results they're having with products and things. So this seems to be working fine for me. That's what I've been using.
Yeah, the funny thing is, you know, we'll read reviews and we'll spend 4 hours, you know, looking through mics to spend $30, and then we'll go out for dinner with our friends and spend that on dinner and drinks, you know, in a night or more than that. It's just funny the way different people. Well, I do it as well, you know. I'll review something that's only $10 on eBay or something like that, but it's,
Yeah,
yeah,
I think
you know,
it's. I
it's.
think for a lot of people, too, it's just an enjoyable thing to be able to dig into stuff like that.
Yeah.
But
And for me, like my websites used to cost me, you know, used to cost me money to do. And I did it for years and years before really ever seeing any return on that investment. And I went into things and, you know, invested money into things and lost thousands of dollars over the years. But it was fun for me, you know, and I was enjoying it. And I was failing, getting depressed, picking myself back up again and learning on the way. But the whole experience for me was enjoyable. So, you know, putting money into that, which someday might come back, you know, it was a fun thing to do for me. And now I guess I'm seeing the fruits of those labors come back to me, and hopefully it'll continue to grow.
I guess, I mean, on that note, you know, you've kind of been in a unique scenario where you obviously struggled for quite some time. You know, if there was anyone out there, you know, you're listening, like, what would be some tips, like, if you're kind of in this phase where they're just not doing well and they're not having any success, like, what kind of advice would you give them?
Well, I think the biggest thing for me has been picking one thing and running with one thing and doing that consistently over time. And for me, that's been running quality content and getting, you know, search traffic from Google and, you know, ranking Google for long tail keywords and stuff like that. So I think really, you know, going back, I tried so many things, you know, and if I was just doing what I'm doing now, you know, 7 years ago, you know, we'd probably be having a very different interview. But I think it's just pick one strategy that you know you can do with the time and the money that you have, and then try that. And then if it works, then great. And if it doesn't, get to a point where you assess it and then say, okay, maybe I'll try something new rather than what I did and what I know a lot of people do, which is you just chop and change. You know, today it's SEO, tomorrow it's Facebook, the next day it's LinkedIn, the following day it's Twitter, then you're back to SEO, and now you hear about product launches, so we're going to do them, and then, you know, it's
Yeah,
just,
it's endless.
yeah, tortoise and the hare, you know, slow and steady wins the race. It really comes down to your goals as well. Like for me, I love doing this, and I want to make money online so I have the freedom to do what I want, you know, whether that means working for myself, whether that means at least, you know, I have the freedom to choose whether I stay at my employer or go to another employer. You know, I have the freedom to choose. That's really what it's about for me, is that for me, I was always going to make it and I haven't made it yet, but I was always going to get there, and it was just kind of, I wasn't going to give up. And so it's just a matter of time until I struck onto something that works. And you know, that's what's happening now. It's just been, I've been through 6 years of, or 7 years of, you know, trying things and nothing worked, and now I've just hit something that's worked. And let's say, you know, tomorrow it all falls apart. Well, I'm not gonna quit, because my end goal is still there. And I'm 25 now. So even if I do this for the next 20 years and it takes me 20 years until I succeed, you know, I'll still only be 45. And so I remember a quote, I can't remember who it was from, you know, Zig Ziglar or some sales quote or something like that, was that it takes the exact same amount of time to become a great salesperson or a great whatever as it does to just remain ordinary. So whether I spend 20 years trying to do it and getting better and growing, or if I just spend 20 years doing nothing, you know, when I'm 45, I'm going to be 45 either way. And so I can, you know, either have spent that time building something or spend that time doing something else. So, yeah. So really my advice going back to your question would just be pick one thing, stick with it, see if it works, give it a good try, and don't just chop and change all the time.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's something that most people, like, there's so much out there, you know, if you go on any of the forums or kind of see what anybody's doing, everybody's kind of got it. One thing that I've noticed is a lot of people are creating products, but everybody's got something different that seems to work for them. So I guess find something that you like and stick with it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. So many things work. Like, there are so many ways to make money online. Like, people are making a killing with Facebook, you know, but that's not for me. You know, I've decided that that's not the strategy that I want to go after. And there's a lot of money that I'm leaving on the table there, yes, but I can't do everything. So making a decision not to do something, I think, is just as important as making a decision to do something. And so, you know, there's lots of products out there. People are making money in lots of different ways. You know, buy a couple of products if you want, you know, read about it, find a strategy that you like and go after that.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, this has been a great interview. Honestly, I got to get going myself. I have to get ready for work.
But, yeah, well, I'm on holidays and it's 10 o'clock now and I'm leaving at 2 a.m. to do a 9-hour drive home. So I'm getting up in four hours. But I've got my handy energy drinks. So, so I'll be powering on through the night. But had a good time chatting to you, John.
All right, yeah. I mean, I'll put up links to all these websites and people can check out your podcasts and, you know, hopefully, you know, if they want to learn from you. I know you've got your own personal site too where you just do a little your own blogging. I think it's like the Ryan McNeil. Is it net?
No, well, if anyone wants to find me now, if they're interested in this sort of stuff, the best place to go would be nichesitefreedom.com. So that's where I'll be posting all of my, I guess, progress and all of my insights and things like that. So if anyone wants to learn more, they can go there. And then if anyone wants to check out, you know, that cashflowinvestor.com.au, which is a site that I've been running for about 4 years. So they can check that out and have a look through there. Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah, I'll put up links to all those sites and people can check that out. All right. Well,
awesome.
Yeah, this was a great interview, Ryan. And hopefully maybe I can have you on again in the future. We can, you know, dig into another topic.
Yeah, well, maybe, you know, we'll come back in a year's time or 6 months and
see
how you're going with your sites and see how I'm going with mine and, you know, what we've learned and what's changed along the way.
Yeah, exactly. All right.